Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Macomb County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. In his message titled, Good Angels, Reverend David Williams tells us, on this Christ the King Day, that it is time to prepare to celebrate God's great gift to us all, Jesus, His message, and what should be a new way of living in community. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. This day in the liturgical calendar, this day in the Christian year, is Christ the King, or Reign of Christ Sunday. It comes to us right before Advent and as a reminder of the reign of God over us. And as we think about what it means to reign, as we think about kingship, as we contemplate what power means for us, the reality for most of us is that as we encounter power in the world, it's kind of a problematic thing. We want to have power, we want to be able to do things, we want to have agency. But human beings do strange things with power. And our history with kings is not a positive one. So how do we consider power? How do we live with it in our lives? How do we act effectively? Often we don't. Often we use power in ways that just serves power, both when we have it and when we look at it in our society. So right now, let's admit that we're never quite sure what to do with this power thing when we are given it. And that our understanding of what it means to lead, what it means to guide, is often very, very wrong. Let's admit that through our prayer of confession. Please join with me in praying. Gracious and almighty God, nothing is more tempting than power. Power is what gets things done, what makes things happen. If we have power, we're able to do what we want and get what we want. In that we want to get things done, we know we need it. Yet the challenge of power is that it concentrates itself. It seeks its own interest in us. We cling to it. And no matter how much we have, we desire more. It causes us to close our hearts to grace, to harm, and to hate. Remind us, O God, that our yearning to control only destroys. In Christ, please remind us of this. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the Gospel of Mark. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. You can follow along on page 34 and 35 of your Pew New Testament. Let us listen a third time for God's word. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are a lot of different things that I'm thankful for this weekend after Thanksgiving. I am grateful for the blessings of family, because that house that had been just way too quiet for months was suddenly a whole bunch louder. I do not have quiet children. And they made noise with their friends, and it's lovely. And I don't mind also that, at least as of this morning when I left the house, I don't mind that there's a mess I'm going to have to clean up tomorrow. Because, you know, they all have to go back to school, and somehow I can't imagine that pile of dishes is going to be done when I get home. I'm grateful for other things. I am grateful that I never got into college football at the University of Virginia. Because it always hurts. I never did that. I am grateful that I didn't shop for a single thing on Black Friday, that I never did anything other than take a nice walk with a dog and do a little yard work before the skies opened up. I am thankful that I somehow managed once again this year at the family Thanksgiving gathering to not say the blessing. Not because I can't, but because the family blessing is more important, which is always the one I hand to my oldest son, and it's the same blessing he's been doing since he was 3. And with all of my parents and my wife's parents and all of my in-laws, and the in-laws of my sister-in-law, all gathered at my parents' house, it's the blessing goes, "Thank you, God, for this food and all the people we love." And then you name everyone around the table, and then you say, "And also the mammals, amen." Because we also love mammals in our household. And it's a way of including the dogs and any cats people might have. And I don't want to get fancy over top of that blessing, nor do I want to stop hearing it. So that I am thankful for. I am thankful that on the morning of Thanksgiving, I got up and I ran a 5K, meaning I completed 5K. I walked it, which we have every year since the kids were little. It's the So Others Might Eat fundraiser in downtown D.C., and that morning was sharp, and it was bitterly cold, And it reminded me to be thankful for a roof over my head, but especially to be thankful for those who have chosen a life of service and organizations that serve. As you walk down to that site with lots of eager little families and you pass people who are sleeping in 20-degree weather under piles of blankets at the doors of office buildings, you're thankful that there's someone who provides those blankets and who will provide a warm meal as needed. So I'm thankful for that. I was thankful for the reminders as I ran that 5K, which runs smack down the corridors of power in the center of DC, with the White House behind and the dome of the Capitol building ahead, and 1 kilometer in, the National Archives. Anyone been to the archives? Anyone spent some time there? I've been in that building just once years ago when I was in high school because there was some special exhibit that we were all going to see, and I have completely forgotten what that was. But I do remember that we also took time with the other document that resides there, protected under thick glass. I'm thankful for that document, for that constitution, for living in a country where you can speak as you wish without fear that those in power will kill you or imprison you for having the impudence to dissent. I'm thankful for living in a country where you can do that without fear, and where you can gather and worship wherever you choose, if you choose, without fear of punishment if you do it wrong or if you fail to participate appropriately. I'm thankful for that, because not every country has that. And these are good things all, and they were worth reflecting on in a time where so much of our cultural energy seems not to be about giving thanks, but to be about attacking or critiquing or finding ways to indulge powers that have never been a positive thing in our world. I am thankful that we are in a country where power is constrained by all of us. And that's worth thinking about as we enter into this Christ the King Sunday in our church year. As we enter that place in our liturgical calendar where we reflect on kingship and power and Jesus and how that's good news. And that's why we're in the first chapter of Mark today. Because Mark's gospel begins with good news. That's how it starts. It starts with the words, the beginning of the good news. And in that, it's a little bit different than the first chapters of Luke and Matthew, which we'll be encountering as we move into the Advent season. Because Luke and Matthew, there are angels and there are genealogies, but there are shepherds and baby Jesus and kid Jesus, and Mark doesn't give us that. Mark gets straight to where things, as far as he's concerned, begins. None of this backstory, none of this history, none of these personal details. We just got to get straight to the facts because that's the way Mark tells a story. We get right in to the gospel. Right into the gospel as first it is prepared for by John the Baptist, wandering out there into the wilderness, wandering out into a place where he's got to, what do we hear about him? Is he Advent-y? There aren't a lot of sort of John the Baptists hanging on Christmas trees. We don't do that. He's not appropriately dressed. It's camel's hair and what is his diet?
He eats locusts and honey, so, you know, he's a little sticky. He's got bug parts on him. You know, he's not necessarily what we're thinking about when we're trying to get into the Christmas mood. And he's very intense. He's very demanding. And most of what he's teaching has to do with the coming and the arrival of a different form of power and kingship. He gets right to that. He's getting right to the core of what it means for the gospel, the good news, to shape and transform the world. And that actually becomes Jesus's whole message. If you go to the Gospel of Matthew, if you go to the Gospel of Luke, the words that Jesus offers at the end of this passage, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near, repent and hear the good news," those Gospels put that into the lips of John the Baptist. But here in Mark, that's given as the core summation of what Jesus's message is. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Change yourself and believe it. And this is an important thing for us to engage with as we're moving in the world, because the author of Mark is telling us that something has shifted in Jesus. The power dynamics of the universe are shaken in Jesus. Time itself is undone. When Mark says the time is fulfilled, he's drawing that classic distinction between our time and the time that God brings. So not time, not chronology, not the ticking away of the clock, not the moving of those hours as we are trying to cram in whatever sale we're supposed to be going to, or whatever particular labor we only have X amount of time to get to. Not chronos time, but kairos time. Time beyond time, time that is the now in its fullness. That is what Jesus is bringing, a time that in and of itself is fulfillment. And we will all feel the pressure of Chronos time over these next couple of weeks, because I don't know, there should be a season of joyous, gentle readying. And I don't know how many of us will be feeling the next couple of weeks as a season of joyous, gentle readying, because there is always so much that has to happen as the year wraps up. We look, as my sons do, towards finals, which don't exist in Kairos time necessarily. There's a Chronos time. There's things that have to be written. There's things that have to be done. And for those of us who labor in the world, there are things that have to happen by year end. And there are specific deadlines and there are expectations. And for some reason, they all come crunching in at the end of the year. But when we hear from Jesus, the time is fulfilled, it's proclaiming something different. Something is happening in its fullness right now. The kingdom of God is so close you can touch it. And that changes, or should change, how we are. It's so easy to lose that in the shuffle of our day-to-day, in the rush towards one deadline after another. That somehow we in Jesus have been given a way of living together, given a way of being that transcends all of that. that breaks through all of that. Jesus, in his person, taught us what it means to live in community, what it means to live and share and be together so that that rush is less relevant. It's not the real thing. Which is a little hard to say as we look to particular deadlines we're dealing with, but it places all of them in context. We are meant to be changed by that. Now, power has always liked chronos time. There are deadlines. There are places where we are forced to be a certain way. There's an energy to it. But as we think about what we're genuinely thankful for this season, as we think about what Advent means as we approach it, we're asked to recall what God's kingdom looks like as we've come to know it in Christ. And it looks very different from the rush and the panic of things have to happen right at this instant, which always gets us stumbling over stuff like grace and patience and kindness. We think about all of the energy generated by tension in life, all of the energy generated by the broken sources of power, and we have to ask ourselves, is this the kingdom that Jesus was calling us to live in? And of course, we are in the world. We have no choice but to be. That's just where we are. But in this proclamation, we are told there is a different way of being. And it's a way of being over which we are called to take care, not to forget. That's part of why we created that little pathway this last month. That there are things, there are ways of being in life together that are less about panic and rush and power and more about intimacy and care and interrelation with one another. When Jesus declared, "The kingdom of God is so close you can touch it, it has come near," it was this kind of relation that he was speaking to. A place where we can offer ourselves up in service to one another, where we can be gracious to one another, and where we can find ways of community together that are very different than the places of power and panic that we see in the world around us. And so those places of grace and thanksgiving, we're asked to hold on to. Not just this moment, but as we move into a season where we will proclaim that the world is changed by the different form of power that Jesus offers us. Hold on to that this season and be thankful that we have another kind of time in which to live. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Next week, there will be purple hymnals here, and the print will be bigger than it is as it appears here. And just to correct an errata from last week, there will be refrains of songs actually in it, as opposed to when you download the single page off of the web, but you don't bother checking the hymnal. That is not an error made by the hymnal, or its writers, or the diligent administrative assistant who copied it. It
It was made by me. just to be fair. So we will be singing from that this next week. Something that we'll have a chance to think about this next week. Most of your bulletins will have in it a place where you can consider your giving for the coming year. And for years we have collected diligently up the pledges, which usually we get about 10% of what y'all actually give back in pledges, because what happens is you go home, you think, you contemplate what this community has to offer, and then you give. And the process has never been very useful for the session's budgeting. So as we go home, take that. There's a little form. It'll help you think about what you can give, what you can do, and how that giving relates to this, relates to the path we have here, relates to what this community has of value for us, but also that it offers up to the community in which we live. This is what we've been called to be stewards over a place that offers up some good news to the world, that offers up things that we can be thankful for and that just don't belong only to us. I realize after Black Friday, we are meant to be thinking only about those things that are good for us. But the gospel isn't about that any more than it's about the forms of power we encounter in the rest of the world. The gospel is about what we have to offer the world. Gifts of service, gifts of a generous heart, places of kindness and sustenance that we can share with others outside of the walls of this place. That is the hope of this season. That is the hope of the Advent season to come, that more will come to know about this gracious, giving path that Christ has called us to. So let that be in your heart. Let that be the thing that you are a steward over and give care to this week and always. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may they be and abide with us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.